He takes shelter of a tree that has no fruits or flowers. He approaches such a tree due to his strong appetite, and thus he suffers. He would like to acquire water, but he is simply illusioned by a mirage, and he runs after it. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the Bhagavata philosophy is meant for people who are completely free from envy. Paramo Nirmatsaranam. The material world is full of envious people. Within one's inner circle, there is much backbiting, and this is compared to the sound vibration of a cricket in the forest. One cannot see the cricket, but one hears its sounds and thus becomes aggrieved. When one takes to Krishna consciousness, one always hears unpalatable words from relatives. This is the nature of the world. One cannot avoid mental distress due to the backbiting of envious people. Being very much aggrieved, sometimes one goes to a sinful person for help, but he has no means to help because he has no intelligence. Thus the living entity is disappointed. This is like running after a mirage in the desert in an effort to find water. Such activities do not produce any tangible results. Due to being directed by the illusory energy, a conditioned soul suffers in so many ways. So, a little background. This is a long section of the Bhagavatam, where Jad Bharata is giving transcendental knowledge to the king. The king is very receptive. Jad Bharata is superlatively qualified. All of his teachings prior to this have shown. And largely it's been very direct in terms of the illusion of thinking in terms of the body. I'm a king, you're my subject, and poking holes in that misconception and on many levels. And then further elaboration on transcendental knowledge, meaning the knowledge of the soul beyond the body, the knowledge of the supreme soul that's the master of the individual soul and the material energy. And now this section is further elaboration in the form of a metaphor. And the metaphor is a person in the forest. And the person in the forest, finds himself in difficulty. In various ways. Now, in one sense, there's urban life that's in the mode of passion, there's degraded life in the mode of ignorance, and then there's this rural life or living in the forest, it's characterized as the mode of goodness. Living peacefully in a quiet, serene, non-agitating atmosphere. Mode of goodness. However, one who goes to the forest, literally, just like Ram is described to Sita, what forest-like is really like, I know you like the gardens, the royal gardens, but that's not the same as the forest, wild animals, and this and that. This is a metaphor, and the metaphor is the forest is representing material life. It's a metaphor. And so it's not that when you hear crickets, you freak out. Or when you hear owls, it's, I can't take it. It's metaphor. So using features of what may be found in a forest, it's a metaphor to describe searching for happiness in material existence. Because one of the essential elements for spiritual progress is slackening, eventually totally abandoning, the idea that there's happiness separate from Krishna. There's happiness in this material world that's created because living entities want happiness separate from Krishna. Say it the opposite. If one lets go of that misconception, happiness apart from Krishna, there's no need for being involved in the material atmosphere. One is eligible to enter the spiritual atmosphere. So again and again and again and again and again and again in the Bhagavatam, so many different ways, very interesting, creative, clever ways, depicting the plight of the living entity, trying to find happiness where there's no happiness. Like this, the final metaphor within this metaphor is searching for water in a desert. There's no water in the desert by definition. It's a place where there's no water. And searching, thinking there's got to be water in the desert, it only brings unhappiness. It can bring a premature death, searching for water in a desert. So with that in mind, the intention, because Rahugana, being a pious king, like others who are pious kings that don't have pure devotion, one of the things that pious kings take shelter of is, in Vedic culture, sacrificial performances that yield prosperity from oneself and one's kingdom and heavenly situation after this life. Worldly people, pious worldly people, think in those ways, regardless of the tradition or the particular discipline or religion. The principle, the form may be different, but the substance is the same. Aspiring for prosperity in this life and an upgrade to the heavenly situation after this life. So that's a pursuit of illusion. So aside from what he's already said very, very clearly, this major distinction between that which exists, sat, and that which doesn't exist, asat. Fundamentally, asat is illusion or illusory. The happiness that people are pursuing, the contact, like we discussed yesterday evening, the contact of the senses with sense objects, expecting happiness. Yehi samsparsha jamboga. That's the yoni, or the place of birth, of dukkha. Expecting happiness, you get unhappiness. So this is now detailing the unhappiness in the form of a metaphor. So there's the first two in this verse are jili, or crickets, word for word, Prabhupada has put a kind of bee. I guess it's a kind of bee that makes a bee sound. And crickets make a cricket sound, rubbing their, whatever they do, their wings or their legs or something, making a high-pitched sound, cricket sound. And Karna Shula. Karna is the ear, and Shula means disturbed. One's ear becomes disturbed by that sound. In this case, in the purport, Prabhupada is likening that sound of crickets in the forest as disturbing to the fact, and we all know it's a fact, that in this world people are envious, and people that are envious do what envious people do. They speak envious things. They may speak directly, they may speak indirectly, but that's what envious people do. The English phrase is behind your back. And then there's the internet. Somebody use a fictitious name and then it's all over the place. And it's a romper room for envious people. A playground for children, and they make lots of noise. It's excellent forum for aparadis, because then they can broadcast their aparad as widely as they like, with no responsibility, apparently, for being accountable for anything that they say, because they... So, that's the cricket sound. And then there's the owl sound. Now, I've heard recordings of owl sounds, and to me it doesn't sound so awful. It's kind of like, not like a cuckoo bird, but it's not awful. But for some persons it may be disturbing. And at least it's a metaphor. And that comparison is relatives. In-laws. No, not all in-laws are like that. But some are. And, or family members, distant, or whatever. When one takes to, and it's not just Kali Yuga, or excuse me, it's not just our Krishna consciousness movement. There's description in the New Testament of the Bible, I don't know the detail, but it goes like this. When you become very devoted to God, then family members start to quibble with your becoming very devoted to God. Even they may say, we're God-like. We go to a place of worship, church, mosque, temple, whatever it is, and we're supportive of religious life. But when someone in the family, devotee, becomes very dedicated, they don't like it. There are different reasons they don't like it, without giving this inventory list of different reasons. But they become disturbed, and they say disturbing things. And they may say disturbing things to the devotee, or they may say disturbing things about the devotee, and then it comes back to the devotee. I just got a communication from someone that they went on pilgrimage, wonderful pilgrimage to India, and then they went to visit the husband's parents and the husband's parents and their cousins and everything. They were just mocking and laughing at their devotion at the end of the lovely pilgrimage. So, certainly there's exceptions, but there are owls that make sounds that are disturbing. And then there are apunya Vrikshan. Vriksha means tree, and punya means pious, and a punya vrikshan, impious trees that bear no fruits or flowers. So the metaphor is you go to a tree that bears no fruits and flowers because you're hungry and you're disappointed. So the metaphor is someone in their distressed condition may go to an impious person seeking some assistance, but the impious person can't give any assistance because they're impious and they don't have any higher intelligence, and so one then becomes disappointed. Fallible soldiers, and another way it's described. And then finally, this Marichi Toyan, the waters of a mirage in the desert. Abhidavati, he runs after. So that's the overall picture of the forest of material enjoyment. There's a whole other section of the Bhagavatam, that's the title of the chapter, the forest of material enjoyment. It's a losing proposition. Although Maya is so powerful, how many living entities, too many to count, that are chasing after happiness in material existence? Tirelessly. Dog obstinate. That's Prabhupada's term. I think of mules as being obstinate more than dogs. Mule obstinate. But obstinate. This continuing perpetually to even being defeated and defeated and defeated, continuing to try to work it out in a different way so you're not defeated. And find happiness, find water in the desert. We're under the influence of Maya. Once we're under the influence of Maya, that is, trying to be an enjoyer separate from Krishna, that's Maya. Once we're in that trap of Maya, it's really hard to get out, even if you want to get out, even if you, regardless. Difficult to get out. Therefore, again and again and again, the Bhagavatam is offering, and we'll continue tomorrow, with reminders about the absence of real happiness in seeking happiness in material existence. The metaphor will continue. Any discussion?
Question on this apunya vriksha. That they're going to get some
Hare Krishna. So I think it's indicating, as you said, getting solutions for our material problem from those who are not spiritualist. So we see in our life, you know, we need to go to doctor, to dentist, some other things to fix around us. And most often we have to consult, you know, car mechanic and all those. So is it we are taking shelter of apunya vrikshan, or how do you consider those attempts to solve our problems?
Well, from a devotee perspective, we do whatever we do, those things and whatever we do, as service to Krishna. So connecting that which is material to the source, Krishna. And then it's not just material. bhakti. That's the philosophy, and then it's the consciousness behind the philosophy that makes it bhakti, not just the philosophy. If we go to a doctor or the dentist, and it's to utilize resources that Krishna has given to help us carry on our service to Krishna. Spiritualizing those activities.
Guru Maharaj, the statement mentioned envious is surrounded by the close proximity. Enviousness is surrounded by the close proximity even.
Enviousness is surrounded by gross proximity?
Close proximity. Close. Within the circle.
Oh, within the circle. Well, it's anywhere. Circle or outside.
Circle. When we notice that within the circle, I stick with those impressions for quite a long period of time, although those are subtle. So how can I quickly move on?
You let go. Darkness moves when you turn on the light. The other is darkness. It's a mode of ignorance. Don't stay with the mode of ignorance. Don't embrace it. Go to the light. That's how. Tendency is tendency. But you can change tendency by cultivation. Practice. Exactly what we... Abhyasa. Exactly from yesterday evening. Text 37. Chapter 18.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. One of the main aspects of interactions with the material world...
Speak slowly, please. One of the main aspects of interaction with the material world.
Sentiments and emotions play a key role in that interaction.
Oh, yeah.
But as we study more and more of Prabhupada's books and listen to more and more lectures of different gurus, those emotions seem to be a bit inert.
They seem to be?
A bit inert. Like, I feel like I'm a little less emotional or emotionless at some times. Because, like, let's say if someone in my family has gone through some bad phase.
Emotions subside when you cultivate spiritual knowledge.
Yeah.
Negative emotions subside.
Yeah.
When you cultivate spiritual knowledge. That's what you're saying?
Yeah. I don't know if they are negative or positive, but the emotions...
Speak slowly, please.
I don't know if the emotions are negative or positive, but the emotions do decrease to...
Okay. The goal is not to become emotionless. The goal is to connect everything with Krishna. Having feelings about things, you're stone if you don't have feelings. So the goal is not make it zero or just make it low volume. The goal is to make it centered on Krishna, purified. Having strong feelings is good. Centered on Krishna is good. What do you think?
How do I differentiate if the emotions that, a little bit of emotions that I feel, are really on a spiritual level and not a perverted reflection?
Well, who's at the center? Generally speaking, we're at the center. And that's not spiritual. When Krishna is at that... The pleasure of Krishna is at the center. That's spiritual. And then another measure is detachment from the temporary. Viraktiranyatracha. Detachment from the temporary.
I think he was leading to, maybe I'm not sure, but he was leading to a question like, our relatives may think that we are insensitive to their you know, problems. I think he was leading, is that right, Dennis? Somebody may think that we are devotees, so we don't care for them, we have become insensitive.
No, we're not insensitive. They can think whatever they think, but, you know, Krishna is at the center. And it's a real good litmus test to see if my emotions connected to relatives is with Krishna at the center or not. It's not easy to get there. But that's a test, that's the standard. So it's not I shouldn't have emotions towards my relatives. But let Krishna be at the center. Is that so? Otherwise we're a stone. And they're right. So we have emotions, but the emotions should be with Krishna at the center. Now, as soon as you open that gate, in comes, you know, the attached to the temporary emotions. So we want to have the gates swing the right way towards Krishna. And that's the cultivation. So initially, it may be, Prabhupada's example is this, when you have a small tree, or bush or plant or something, you may put a fence around it. Because when it's young and tender, then some animal can come and destroy it, and then it's over. So in the immature stage of a tree or something you want to grow, you put a fence around it. So when the tree becomes mature, you don't need the fence anymore. Similarly, in the beginning, we may be overly cautious or set up some boundaries around us so we don't let that which is going to destroy bhakti come and destroy bhakti. So the pendulum may swing way over there for some time. But that's due to a lack of maturity, but maybe it's a wise thing to do in the lack of maturity stage. Just to be very careful. So that's another, you know, you have no emotions towards your relatives. Well, I'm being very careful because, you know, you have your my affinity for the temporary is very strong, and you're wishing me to continue my affinity for the temporary is even stronger than my affinity for the temporary. So it's not a good combination, so I'm being cautious. But in the mature stage, it's different. Yeah?
And how do we differentiate if the mind is really on a platform of higher consciousness?
Well, yeah, I gave the answer already. Who is at the center? Whose happiness? Whose satisfaction is at the center? Ask that question. And then the other. In a broad sense, or even in a specific sense, am I attached to the temporary? Or am I attached to Sat, the eternal? Very simple. Yeah?
Translation that we approach such a tree due to his strong appetite. So it means like naturally everyone has a strong appetite to the material appetite, like it also we might have like a mixture for spiritual also. It's only for
it is speak it is some persons have a strong spiritual appetite, but the reference that's being made is for the person who's in the material world trying to be enjoyer of it. That the reference is the strong material appetite. Now, specifically, using it in the metaphor, it's, I want relief, so I go to somebody that can't give relief, and I'm disappointed. So that's appetite specifically, is an appetite for relief. Don't get over analytical.